Welcome back to Mugside, the Opaka Coffee Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Hope. And today's episode is the one so many of you have been waiting for. Espresso Essentials, Mastering the Craft of Home Espresso.
Yep, we're talking espresso. Not just any espresso, your espresso. The one you can make at home, in your kitchen, with your machine grinder, and that cup you always reach for even though you have 10 others.
We're breaking it all down today. Whether you're thinking of starting your espresso journey, or you've been making shots at home and something just feels off, we got you. Gear, grind size, pressure, tamping, ratios, crema, taste, mistakes. It's all on the table.
Or on the counter, next to the espresso machine.
You love a bad coffee pun.
It's a gift.
So you should be asking yourself, what makes espresso espresso? Well, let's start where a lot of people get confused. James, what's the biggest myth you think people believe about espresso?
Oh, hands down, that espresso is a type of bean.
Exactly. We hear that all the time. People say, do you have espresso beans? When what they mean is they want beans suitable for espresso.
Right. Espresso is a method, not a bean. It's high-pressure brewing, 9 bars of pressure, 25 to 30 seconds of extraction, and usually a 1-to-2 brew ratio. That's what makes it espresso.
So you could take the same beans and make espresso, pour over, French press. The difference is how you brew.
But not all beans work equally well across methods.
Yeah, let's talk roast profiles.
Light roasts tend to be tricky in espresso. They can taste sour or overly bright. That's because espresso extracts so quickly, and light roasts often need a little more time and a gentler method. Medium to medium dark is usually the sweet spot for espresso. You get body, caramelization, and balance, which is why Opaka's Havana Midnight works so well. Bold, rich, with a bit of that molasses sweetness.
Okay, James, confession time. What was your worst early espresso experience?
Oh, wow. So, first machine, I had no idea what I was doing. I used a bright Ethiopian roast I loved for pour over, ground it fine, and pulled a shot.
And?
Straight up lemon battery acid.
Classic rookie mistake. I once pulled a 60-second shot because I didn't realize the grind was too fine. It tasted like hot tire water. So don't worry, friends. We've been there. And today, we're going to help you skip those mistakes. Okay, let's talk gear. James, what are the actual essentials?
Espresso machine. Burr grinder, tamper, scale, timer.
That's it? Not a $3,000 setup. Not a 50-item Amazon cart. But you do want quality where it counts.
Biggest place to invest? Grinder. Burr grinder, not blade.
Because blade grinders chop unevenly. You'll get fine powder and big chunks in the same batch, which means uneven extraction.
Which means bad espresso. Even the best machine can't fix a bad grind.
You also want a reliable tamper. The plastic ones that come with machines? Toss them.
And get a scale. A simple digital one that can measure to a tenth of a gram, that is it. All right, let's say you're pulling decent shots, but now you're hooked. You want more control, more consistency. What's the upgrade path?
Start with the grinder, always the grinder. A great espresso grinder gives you precise control over particle size, and that makes everything else easier.
Look for low retention, stepless adjustments, and consistent output. Don't get seduced by big names without checking if it actually meets your espresso needs.
Next, invest in accessories that improve puck prep. A proper tamper with a nice fit, a distribution tool, and maybe a dosing funnel to keep things neat.
After that, consider a scale that measures down to 0.1 grams and updates fast. Timing and weight are everything in espresso.
Then comes the machine. Look for one with temperature stability, pre-infusion, and a proper 58mm portafilter. Heat exchangers and dual boilers give you better steam power and shot control.
Don't forget about ergonomics. If you're brewing daily, choose a machine that's intuitive and enjoyable to use.
And lastly, workflow. upgrade your counter setup, get a tamping mat, a knock box, and organize your gear. Espresso becomes way more fun when your space supports your ritual.
You're not just buying equipment, you're building an environment for creativity, learning, and enjoyment.
Can we talk about timing shots real quick?
Yes. Most machines have shot buttons, but a separate timer or app helps you really dial in. 25 to 30 seconds is the sweet spot.
And if you want a recommendation, we'll link a few good beginner tools in the show notes.
Let's go inside the espresso shot. What's actually happening during those 30 seconds?
So in the first 5 to 10 seconds, acids extract. That's your brightness.
Next, sweetness, sugars, oils, body, and finally, bitterness. If your shot goes too long, that's what dominates. So if your espresso is sour, too short. Bitter, too long, and watery, possibly underdosed or undertamped. All of this ties back to grind, pressure, and tamping, which brings us to grind, pressure, and tamping.
This is where espresso either becomes magic or a mess.
Let's talk grind size first. You want fine. Think table salt. Not powdery, but definitely finer than pour over. Rule of thumb, if the shot runs in under 10 seconds, grind finer. If it chokes the machine, go coarser. Pressure. Most home machines are preset to 9 bars. You don't have to control that, but if you upgrade machines later, it becomes a variable.
Tamping. People love to overthink this.
Me. I did. I used to tamp with everything I had, elbow grease and all.
You want even? Level pressure. 30 pounds is a guide, but consistency matters more.
And don't twist at the end. That old polish the puck myth can ruin your level.
Love a good myth bust.
Let's go deeper on water. Because honestly, it's the secret third ingredient nobody talks about enough.
Yes, coffee and water. That's it. But the water matters more than people think. It's not just about filtered versus tap. It's about what's in the water and how it interacts with the coffee compounds.
We're talking total dissolved solids, TDS for short. Ideally, you want water with TDS around 75 to 150 parts per million. Too high, and you get scale buildup and muddy flavor. Too low, and you get flat, sour extractions.
Hard water with a high mineral load can ruin your machine over time. That means more descaling and less consistency. But ultra-purified water, like reverse osmosis, strips out too much and leads to poor extraction.
It's like trying to cook a gourmet meal with no seasoning. Water needs a little hardness and alkalinity to bring out the best in your beans.
If you're serious about your espresso game, look into solutions like Third Wave water packets. They let you customize your brew water with minerals optimized for coffee extraction.
Or you can mix your own if you're into home science. Use distilled water and mineral additives like baking soda or magnesium sulfate in precise amounts.
And if that's not your style, just find a reliable water filter that balances for taste and descale your machine on schedule. Water is a quiet force, but it can make or break your cup.
Okay, fun times, but let's talk espresso ratios. Overall, the standard is 1 to 2, 18 grams in, 36 grams out. But you can go ristretto with 1 to 1 ratio for a syrupy, intense shot, or go lungo with 1 to 3 ratio for a lighter taste. The key is to measure. Use your scale to know what you're pulling.
And Crema, that beautiful golden foam. It tells you the coffee is fresh and you had good pressure. But don't judge only by Crema. Some great shots have barely any. Some bad ones have tons. True story. I had a beautiful Crema once, tasted like regret. Let's be honest, sometimes you do everything right and the shot still tastes off.
Oh yes, like when channeling ruins your morning. It's that moment when you see the shot running unevenly before you even taste it.
Channeling happens when water finds a path of least resistance through the puck and avoids proper contact with the coffee grounds. you end up with over-extracted bitterness in one part and under-extracted sourness in another. One shot, two problems.
A good fix, improve your puck prep. Use a WDT tool or even a bent paperclip to stir and evenly distribute the coffee before tamping. That breaks up clumps and creates a uniform density.
Let's rapid fire common mistakes.
Sour shot, under extracted. Grind finer, tamp better.
Bitter, over extracted. Grind coarser or reduce time.
No crema, could be stale beans.
Weak body, underdosed or under-tamped.
Clogged machine, clean it. Seriously, clean your gear. We see this a lot. People dial everything in and forget to clean the porta, filter, or group head. It makes a big difference, just like brushing your teeth before drinking orange juice.
Vivid. Thank you for that image. What about espresso myths?
Yeah, let's bust a few espresso myths. You know, the kind that sneak into Reddit threads, espresso forums, or even get passed down in local cafes.
Love it. Let's start with the big one. Myth number one, you need a $2,000 machine to make good espresso. False. What you need is control over your grind, dose, and time. A solid $300 to $500 setup, especially with a good grinder, can make incredible espresso.
I made some of my best shots ever on a humble single boiler machine with a great grinder and a digital scale. It's not the price, it's how well you understand your tools.
Exactly.
Okay, myth number two, more pressure equals better espresso. Not true. Most machines are calibrated to 9 bars of pressure for a reason. Exceeding that doesn't mean more flavor. It usually means more bitterness.
Myth. Three, crema means quality. We love crema, but it's not the whole story. You can get a thick crema from stale beans or poor extractions if the grind and pressure happen to align. It might look good and taste bad.
Myth number four, espresso has to be dark roasted. Not necessarily. Dark roasts are more forgiving for beginners, sure, but medium or even light roasts can be amazing, bright, floral, complex. You just have to dial them in differently.
Let's not forget the tamping myth. Myth five, you have to tamp as hard as possible. Nope. It's not about strength. It's about consistency and leveling. Tamping too hard can even compact the puck too much and choke your shot.
And lastly, myth number six, espresso is only for purists. No sugar, no milk, no fun. False. Espresso is yours. Drink it how you love it. Neat, sweetened, or topped with foamed oat milk and cinnamon. If you've heard other myths or want us to do a deep dive episode just on this, drop us a line, because half the battle in espresso is unlearning the nonsense. Let's wrap with taste, calibrating your palate. Taste with intention. Try the same bean with small changes. Note what you like. Do a triangle test. Brew 3 shots. Change 1 variable each time. See what stands out. You can also keep a notebook or use a coffee app to track your shots. That way you can pinpoint what worked and repeat it. It's okay to have a troubleshooting moment. It's not failure, it's feedback. Espresso is a dance with your variables. The more you learn the steps, the smoother the rhythm.
And don't be afraid to trust your taste. There's no perfect shot for everyone. Just the one that makes you go, oh yeah. Oh, an espresso. Can also be personalized. A lot of people think espresso has to taste a certain way. Strong, dark, bitter. But that's just one flavor profile.
Totally. There's a whole spectrum. If you like bright, fruity coffees, you might love a single origin Ethiopian as espresso. It's going to hit you with citrus, maybe blueberry, maybe floral notes.
And if you're into more chocolatey or nutty notes, a natural Brazil or a honey-processed Costa Rican might be perfect. The origin, processing method, and roast level all shape flavor.
And espresso ratios let you fine-tune the intensity. A 1-to-1 ristretto shot is thick and syrupy. It's like espresso turned up to 11. A 1 to 3 Lungo is softer, more diluted, sometimes sweeter.
Add milk and everything changes again. Some coffees bloom into caramel and toasted almond when you mix them with steamed milk. Others mellow out and lose their edge. So experimenting is part of the journey.
Even time of day plays a role. In the morning, I want something rich and balanced. At night, yes, I sometimes drink espresso at night. I'll go for a cleaner, fruit-forward profile just to sip slowly. So try different beans, play with ratios, and track what you like. Your espresso should reflect your palate, not someone else's rule book.
And that's the beauty of home brewing. You're not just making espresso, you're curating it for you. That's when espresso becomes a ritual, not a routine. Beyond the gear and science and technique,
there's something sacred about the ritual. It slows you down. You can't rush a good shot.
From weighing your beans to feeling the tamp in your hand to watching the first golden drops hit the cup, it's an act of presence.
For a lot of people, espresso becomes a morning meditation. It's your time, just you, your thoughts, and a shot that you crafted.
It helps you start the day with intention. Whether you nail the shot or not, you're showing up. You're creating a small moment of joy. And when you share it, offering a cup to someone else, it becomes connection, hospitality, a gesture of love.
We often say espresso is the most expressive form of coffee, and we don't just mean flavor. It expresses you, your care, your curiosity, your patience. So wherever you are on your espresso journey, whether you're pulling your first shot or your 500th, know that you're building more than skill. You're building a ritual, one that wakes up more than your senses. It wakes up your spirit.
Exactly. Savor it, play with it, brew boldly.
Before we sign off, we want to highlight some fantastic questions from the Opaka coffee community. We love hearing from you, and some of these really hit on things we wish we had asked when we started.
One we hear all the time is, how do I know if my espresso is under or over extracted? Classic question. The quick answer is, sour usually means under extracted, and bitter means over extracted. But there's more to it.
Yeah. Also check the shot time. If your espresso comes out in 12 seconds, it's probably sour. If it drags out over 40 seconds and tastes hollow or burnt, you're overdoing it.
Another good one we got this week. Is the grinder really that important? The answer is a resounding yes. If you have a top-tier machine but a bad grinder, you'll get frustratingly inconsistent results.
One question I loved. Why does my espresso taste amazing one day and off the next? First off, happens to everyone. Beans age, humidity changes, maybe you ground a tiny bit coarser without realizing it. Tracking your shots helps.
Also, don't underestimate cleaning. Someone said they were using the same portafilter basket for weeks. We love that dedication, but clean your gear regularly. Oils build up and turn rancid fast.
And finally, someone asked, is it normal to feel overwhelmed? Yes, 100%. You're not alone. Espresso has a steep learning curve, but the climb is worth it.
And that's why we're here, to make the climb easier, more fun, and definitely more flavorful. So keep your questions coming. Tag us at Opaka Coffee or message us on the website.
Let's keep learning together.
Well, that wraps up our Espresso Essentials guide. If you found this helpful, send it to a friend just getting into espresso. Or tag us in your next shot at Opaka Coffee. Until next time, brew boldly. Thank you.